Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
Mystery. Frequency.
Thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode of The Mystery Frequency, where you'll find classic stories of mystery, suspense, sci-fi, pulp heroes, and audiobooks, all in their original forms, waiting to be heard again. If you enjoy this podcast, please let me know through the usual ways. All those links are found in the description. And if you could take the time to please follow, review, and rate. And a big thank you to all those who already have. Now with all that, please enjoy the show.
Now, from the makers of Cold Water Irma,
the room had a definite Middle Eastern atmosphere. A high ceiling, no doors, but many curved ornamental archways covered by brocade curtains. Dim lighting from behind Moorish screens, and of course, the heavy scent of incense. It could have been a setting from a very old Hollywood movie of the Arabian Nights. From behind some heavy drapes, two men moved into the room, moving lightly over the rich Persian carpets.
This is it, all right, Ronnie?
Yes, I think so, George. What an extraordinary setup.
Quite. But you know what we always say. Once a foreigner, always a foreigner.
Well, let's give the place a good going over. You search the desk.
Right. There's nothing much here.
God, it's very encouraging. Hey, look at this.
What is it?
Well, if I didn't know better, I'd say it was an Aladdin's lamp.
You better rub it. It might be able to solve us all this work.
Right. Here goes. Bring us luck, eh?
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
So many women say, once an Omo user, always an Omo user, because there's just no dirt that can stand up to the cleaning power of cold water Omo. It solves Mrs. Sutherland's washing problems for her.
Very dirty oil or grease marks.
Yes.
If you use cold water Omo, there's no trouble at all. It comes out very, very easily indeed.
There's no washing problem too difficult for cold water Omo. Over 1 million South African housewives have proved it.
Sherry Ann Field chooses Lux for her complexion.
I always use Lux. I find it so very rich and creamy, and I love the perfume.
Like Sherry Ann, choose Lux for your complexion. Lux, a beauty treatment as you bathe.
Episode episode one of this story, in which John Steed and Emma Peel embark on the strange case of the Fantasy Game. The skies over London were dark and filled with rain clouds. A cold wind blew the fine drizzle into deserted thoroughfares and empty alleyways. It was not a night to be out, and few people were. Big Ben sonorously chimed midnight. Half a mile away, the sound floated unnoticed through the ornate Arabian apartment where the two agents, Ronnie Westcott and George Reed, recoiled in amazement from the vivid flash of light that lit up the whole room. They gasped as smoke filled one corner, and out of it stepped a shadowy figure in flowing robes. As the haze cleared, both men saw the snout of a Sten gun leveled towards them.
No! No!
George Reed was mowed down by a hail of bullets. Ronnie Westcott, who was closer to the arched entrance, sprinted through the velvet drapes as the Sten gun swung round on him. The figure ran forward in pursuit, firing all the time. When it reached the passageway, there was no sign of Ronnie. The man paused, crouched to the ground, wiped his hand on the carpet and brought it up sticky with blood. Clearly, Ronnie was hit. The man smiled cruelly and turned back into the room, standing over the body of George Reed with great satisfaction. The rain continued to fall over London for the next 2 or 3 hours. Then the wind changed. The clouds disappeared, and by dawn it was dry and pleasant and far warmer. Across Hampstead Heath that morning came the sound of a woman's laughter. They'd been to a party which had lasted far longer than they'd anticipated.
Oh, top of the morning to you, Mrs.
Peel. And a very good morning to you, Steed. If the morning's as fun as the night was, we should have a good day ahead.
Right. Nothing like an early morning walk to start things off.
Or finish things up.
Coffee at my place, I think.
Splendid suggestion.
Good. Step out then, Mrs. Peel. Step out.
A short while later, at the entrance to Steed's apartment...
I'll make the coffee.
Hello. Stop! My brother's stand right across the hall. Well, up with it. Right. I'll attend to the bacon and eggs.
Oh, 2 eggs for me, sunny side up. And I think I'd...
What the devil's happened here?
Steed looked around him. 2 pictures on the walls were hanging awry. A third was knocked to the floor. A small table lay on its side, surrounded by broken glasses.
You weren't expecting visitors, were you, Steed?
Steed didn't reply, but moved to the kitchen to check the state of affairs there and in the other rooms. Mrs. Peel, looking around, found a mark on the wall almost hidden by the settee. The mark was blood. A stark red handprint. She knelt to examine it, and a second print lower down. As she stretched out her hand...
Please!
Oh, no.
A blood-stained hand reached to Mrs. Peel's. Ronnie Westcott was lying behind the settee, his eyes staring upwards in a glazed manner. The other hand was clutched to his chest, wet with blood.
Mrs. Peel? Mrs. Peel, what is it? Oh, Ronnie. Ronnie Westcott.
I'll phone for a doctor.
No. No, mustn't. Leap out. Top security. I'm finished anyway. No doctor.
How would this be?
Steed, listen carefully. George Reed, myself, we stumbled onto something big, important, full story in George's rooms. Evidence.
Where is George?
George is dead.
Who did this, Ronnie? Who was it?
Jeannie?
Jeannie who? Who is she?
Honey. Beware. Steed up.
Ronnie Westcott. One of the best undercover men in the business. Was.
Steed? Steed, what did he say?
Something about a woman named Jeannie. A good-looking woman who said she was a honey. I'll call MI5, Mrs. Beale. Q Division Colonel Robertson. Tell him what's happened. He'll arrange to have Ronnie collected quietly without any fuss.
Where will you be?
He said there was a full report of all this in George's room. I'm going to collect it.
George Reed's dead body still lay where it had fallen hours before. The tapestries at the far end of the Arabian room were parted. A powerful-looking Turkish man entered, expensively, immaculately dressed. The robed assassin led him across to where the dead man lay.
Hey, Mr. Arcady, this is the man, and this is his wallet.
George Reed. You say the other one got away, Vincent?
Yes, but he was hit. I didn't miss him. He can't live long.
I trust not. It is a pity you allowed him to escape. The thing to do now is cover all traces. I will attend to this one. Ah, an address. The address and this card from the wallet. You see what you can find.
Yes, very well, Mr.
And, Vincent, whatever you find, destroy it.
George Reed, the late George Reed, lived in rooms in North London. John Steed knew where they were and drove over. But he was just a little late. The man Vincent got there ahead of him. He had shed his conspicuous robes and he was dressed all in black. A sinister, slight figure who moved with assurance to the front door of the apartments. Working skillfully at the lock, he was soon inside.
George Reed. So this is where he lived.
There were two rooms, a bed-sitting room and a smaller one that Reed must have used as a study. Vincent chose the latter. Moved first to the desk, pulling out the drawers, rummaging through their contents. Breaking into the locked drawer ruthlessly, he found a metal waste paper basket and began filling it with papers from the locked drawer. Then he moved to the filing cabinet. It was, of course, locked, but that didn't present any problems.
Easy. It must be in here. Yes, the file. The file marked QQF. Yes, all this must go.
Vincent tipped the contents into the waste paper basket and lit a match. He watched the flames devour the papers with satisfaction. When the last one had curled into a charred brown wafer, he took a ruler from the desk and stirred the ashes. Satisfied that no one could restore the contents, he moved towards the door. It was then that John Steed entered. Vincent quickly moved into the protection of a large cupboard that stood near the door. Steed entered cautiously and was immediately aware of the smell of burning. He looked around, spotted the waste paper basket and moved over to it. Vincent, in the shadows, drew from his belt a long oriental dagger. Steed touched the waste paper basket and recoiled from the heat just as Vincent lunged forward. The knife came down, but Steed had moved sideways. The knife ripped his coat. Steed grabbed at the knife hand just in time. The two men grappled. Steed found himself staring at the stockinged mask. With a vicious twist, Vincent stabbed again, but Steed was prepared this time. The knife fell to the floor. Vincent got a better grip and tripped Steed, who fell back against the cabinet. Vincent moved in, but Steed bounced back from the cabinet, knocked Vincent sideways. Steed got a hold and with one swift movement threw Vincent over his head towards the window. The effort made Steed fall to his knees, but by the time he'd scrambled to his feet and made for the window, Vincent had picked himself up and was running down the alleyway. Steed paused, realized pursuit was impossible, and picked up the knife from the carpet.
Well, this should be useful. Definitely not made in Sheffield.
Steed placed the knife on the desk and inspected the filing cabinet and the waste paper basket. It was clear that Vincent had done a good job on getting rid of everything Steed was looking for. Finally, Steed moved over to the tall cupboard by the door.
Cupboard filled with dozens of jars, all marked best British honey. Well, this can't be for real.
In Steed's apartment, Mrs. Peel waited patiently. Eventually, the doorbell rang.
Ah, Steed's forgotten his key. Not again.
It was the postman.
Morning, miss. Registered package. Just saw an airman, yeah?
Oh, right. Thank you.
Thank you, miss.
Mrs. Peel moved back into the room. Ronnie Westcott's body had been removed, but she still glanced with apprehension towards the spot behind the settee. She sat down on the settee and studied the parcel, turning it over in her hands. On the back was a label. Mrs. Peel read,
B. Bumble and Company, a gift from George Reed. Best British honey. Now, what the devil does that mean?
What indeed?
And with a vicious uppercut, Jimmy Anderson finishes trimming his whole hedge in just 3 hours, 11 minutes. Great work, Jimmy. You play any other sport?
Yes, dominoes.
You're looking pretty cool, Jimmy. What deodorant do you use?
Shield for Sportsman, of course.
Why?
It works.
Shield for Sportsman deodorant won't stick, sting, or stain. In aerosol or roll-on, it's made to keep Sportsman cool and dry. Think what it can do for you.
The cleaning power of Coldwater Omo gives you the superb cleanness you want from a washing powder. Listen to Mrs. Baxter of Claremont.
It really is good, you know. I mean, it's unbelievable, really, that it could be so good, you know.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user.
The Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers, brought to you by the makers of Coldwater Omo. From the makers of Coldwater Omo.
Mrs. Peel was in John Steed's apartment that morning when the doorbell rang. Mrs. Peel opened the door to find herself staring at the postman.
Morning, miss. Registered parcel there. Just down here, will you, please?
Yes, certainly. There you are. Thank you.
Thank you, miss.
Mrs. Peel moved back into the room. Ronnie Westcott's body had been removed from behind the settee. Mrs. Peel sat down and studied the parcel. On the back was a label. She read,
B. Bumble and Company, a gift from George Reed, best British honey. Now, what the devil does that mean?
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
So many housewives have discovered that the cleaning power of Coldwater Omo gives them sparkling clean results. Mrs. Joyce Whelan of East London has this to say.
I've tried it, and it works beautifully. I tried it on my children's clothes, on a general wash, and I noticed straight away that things were cleaner. Mm-hmm. Since then, I've used nothing else but Coldwater Omo.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user. Omo cleans best.
Keep your complexion soft and young-looking with the creamy, moisturizing lather of Lux. Like Claudia Cardinale, choose Lux. Lux, a beauty treatment as you bathe.
Episode 2 of this story, in which Emma Peel has a taste of honey, and John Steed finds himself playing the opening moves of The Fantasy Game. John Steed and Emma Peel, returning to Steed's apartment after a quite splendid all-night party, found a dying undercover agent, Ronnie Westcott, lying behind the settee. Before he died, Ronnie managed to gasp out the fact that his fellow agent, George Reed, had been killed. He muttered something about genie and honey, and the fact that full information could be found in George Reed's rooms. Steed had gone to the rooms and been attacked by a man in a stockinged mask. In the following fight, the man had got away after Steed had thrown him through the window and left Steed with a curious oriental dagger. Steed, upon searching the rooms, realized that all the important information had been destroyed. He'd also discovered a cupboard filled with jars of honey, all similarly marked Best British Honey, just like the package Mrs. Peel was holding.
Now, why the devil should George Reed send Steed a jar of honey? Hello?
Ah, glad to know, Mrs. Peel.
What's the news, Steed?
Someone beat me to George Reed's rooms. Nasty creature wearing a mask and suffering from halitosis. Just as well he was wearing the mask, really. He got away leaving me with a ripped jacket and a curious dagger.
Hmm. What about all the gem that the two agents had collected?
Burned.
So we don't know what they were onto.
Not at the moment. Reed seems to have had a bit of a sweet tooth. He's got a whole cupboard filled with jars of honey.
Honey? Steed, you've just had a parcel through the post. It's a jar of honey sent by George Reed.
What? Ah, well, that settles it. Ronnie Westcott said the word honey before he died. There could be something contained in these jars. I'd better go through them all. It'll be a long job.
Right. I'll pay a visit to B. Bumble and Company, makers of Best British Honey. Be a busy bee, Steed, won't you? Bye-bye.
The Turkish gentleman, who was known as Arkady, was a health fiend and spent a considerable number of hours in the local health center. He was there, concealed to his neck in a steam box, when Vincent reported his recent encounter with Steed.
So you left him there? That was very foolish, Vincent, very foolish. Now grab that towel and wipe my forehead.
Yes, of course. But I did destroy the files, Mr. Arkady.
Nevertheless, there may be a general hue and cry. We must continue to cover all traces.
Yes, Mr. Arkady.
The honey shop, Bernie.
Yes, sir.
Now go with Vincent. Vincent, take Bernie with you. You seem unable to look after yourself. Now take him and go to the honey shop. Check up there. You know what you have to do.
Yes, Mr.
And Arkady. Don't fail this time. And tell him to get me out of this sweatbox, please, now.
So, both Mrs. Peel and the opposition both made their way to the curious establishment of B. Bumble and Co. Outside the building hung the sign, Homemade Honey from Hilariously Happy Hives. Mrs. Peel raised an exquisitely curved eyebrow. Her lips twitched into a smile as she opened the door.
Anyone at home?
Obviously, no one in the hive.
Who's there? Who's there? Ah, good morning, good morning, good morning, dear lady, good morning.
Good morning.
Mrs. Peel found herself confronted by a rotund, cheerful little man who wore a beekeeper's hat with a veil and a long white coat.
Oh, forgive me. I've been attending to my little charges, my bees, buzzing round their hives, so to speak.
Must be exhausting work.
Oh, but rewarding, you know. Yes, 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 yes. Reward always at your service.
Oh?
Treat my little bees like little children, for after all, make bumper bumble honey. Now, dear lady.
Can you arrange that?
But of course. That's what encircles the globe. Syrup in Sweden, nectar in Nyasaland, honey in the Himalayas. You just give me the address, and I'll dispatch it post haste. How much do you wish to send?
Well, just a jar or two.
Of which particular kind? You see, our six-legged friends are very versatile. I have 365 different kinds of honey. Just imagine. Breakfast toast for a whole year, and never the same flavor twice.
Except in leap year.
Quite so.
Well, I thought this would be rather nice.
Mrs. Peel produced the honey jar sent to Steed by post. She handed it to Bumble, who peered at it short-sightedly.
Yes.
It was at this point the shop door opened. Vincent and Bernie entered.
Do I be with you soon? Won't keep you a moment, gentlemen. Now, let me see. Yes, strength 3, pure syrup without wax. 2 jars, you said. Well, now, if you'll just put the address on these labels...
Yes, of course. That jar was sent to me by a friend of mine, a Mr. George Reed.
Vincent, who had been studying bottles of honey on various shelves, immediately took notice.
Perhaps you know him. Mr. George Reed?
Reed. Oh, no, dear lady, I'm sure you'll understand. We get so many customers, you know, so many.
But this was sent only the day before yesterday. The postmark on the package said...
Oh, the day before yesterday. Well, in that case, of course, I wouldn't remember him. And you, dear lady, must be mistaken.
But I'm not. I can't be.
Oh, but you are. The day before yesterday, I was at the Bahrainian Embassy, making a personal delivery of my delicious honey. And this shop, dear lady, was shut.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. Now, will that be all?
Yes, thank you. You will see that the honey is dispatched right away, won't you?
Oh, of course. With Bumble, there's never a fumble. Never fear, dear lady, never fear.
I'll try not to.
Granny, follow her. Follow the girl. You know what to do.
Right.
And now, dear sir, what can I do for you?
Just keep quiet to start with.
Vincent pointed the muzzle of his gun into the short, fat man's stomach.
Get behind the counter. Quick. Come on, move.
Poor old Steed. He'd been investigating the contents of those honey jars for hours. He was still clad in the dinner jacket from the party of the night before. Lots of empty jars surrounded him as he pitched yet another quantity of honey down the sink in George Reed's kitchen. The telephone rang. Steed resisted the desire to wipe his fingers on his torn jacket. He licked them instead and headed for the phone.
Hello?
Hello. That's to Reed, Mr. George Reed.
Speaking. Who is this?
We haven't actually met, but I am Ponsonby Hopkirk. Ponsonby Hopkirk of QQF. I understand that you made an appointment to see me at the QQF this morning. Well, I wonder if you'd mind making it a bit later. Say 12 o'clock. Would that be all right?
Yes. Perfectly.
Good. I'll see you later then.
Mr. Hopkirk, this is silly of me, but the QQF, I've quite forgotten the address.
Oh, Beaver Street, Mr. Dean. 10 Beaver Street.
Yes, I know, but, hello? Are you there? Hello? The QQF Beaver Street?
Beaver Street is in Westminster, a short street leading down to the Thames. Steed had little difficulty in finding it. He parked outside, and slipping his overcoat over the torn dinner jacket, he approached a door which read, The QQF Inc. Knock and enter. Steed did so. Steed found himself in the passageway leading to the Arabian room. Soft carpets clung to the walls, tapestries draped them, and there was the heavy smell of incense.
Back in the Middle East after all these years. And the difference is that it's so badly lit. Not even a red light inside. Oh, well.
Steed moved forward, and pushing aside the drape over the archway, entered the main room. It appeared to be empty. A dry cough from behind a Moorish screen made him swing round.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I was looking for a Mr. Hopkirk.
I am Napoleon. Huh? At least that is whom I'm about to become. Please do not disturb me.
Steed, peering through the gloom, saw the reclining figure of a man dressed as Napoleon lying on a divan. Steed approached.
Look, I'm terribly sorry about that retreat from Moscow, and I don't wish to disturb your dreams about Josephine, but I am still looking for Mr. Ponsonby Hopkirk. Mr. Ponsonby Hopkirk of the QQF?
Ah, did I hear my name mentioned? Mr. Ponsonby Hopkirk. Mr. Reed, isn't it? Mr. George Reed.
Yes.
Let me take you by the hand, Mr. Reed.
Well, if you insist.
Welcome to the QQF. Doubly welcome. You're not in a great hurry, are you? You'll wait. You'd like tea? Coffee, perhaps? Or a drink?
A drink.
Right away.
Ponsonby Hopkirk reached out a hand and took up what appeared to be a replica of an Aladdin's lamp. He rubbed it suddenly.
Hey, presto. Open sesame in all those camps, hey. Look.
Steed looked. Appearing through the haze of smoke stepped an attractive, scantily dressed young lady. She advanced towards him.
Would you like something?
How do you like my little genie?
Genie?
A service with a smile, eh? We live up to our name. QQF. Quite fantastic. We live out everyone's fantasies for them. And so relieve the emotional tensions. Tell me, are there any fantasies we can do for you?
Well, at the moment, I think I've got my brain full. Do you mind if I sit down and think all this out, Mr. Ponsonby Hopkirk?
Pepsodent has Earlium, an amazing discovery that actually polishes teeth so sparkling clean and white, dulling film can't find a hole. Feel the difference with your tongue.
You wonder where the dullness went when you polish your teeth with Pepsodent.
New Pepsodent, the white toothpaste you can feel working.
Pepsodent.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user. So many housewives, like Mrs. Adnall, say.
I wash every single thing in cold water anode. Anything that's washable come out. Spotlessly clean.
Yes, Omo cleans best.
The Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers, brought to you by the makers of Cold Water Omo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, from the makers of Cold Water Omo...
Mr. Ponsonby Hopkirk reached out a hand and took up what appeared to be a replica of an Aladdin's lamp. He rubbed it suddenly.
Impressive. Open sesame. Look.
Steed looked. Appearing through the misty haze caused by the slight explosion, appeared a scantily dressed, very attractive young woman. She walked towards Steed and said...
You want something?
Well, I... How do you like my little genie?
Genie?
Service with a smile, eh? We live up to our name. QQF. Quite fantastic. We live out everyone's fantasies for them, and so relieve the emotional tensions. Tell me, are there any fantasies we can do for you?
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
So many housewives have discovered that the cleaning power of cold water Omo gives them sparkling clean results. Mrs. Joyce Whelan of East London has this to say.
I've tried it, and it works beautifully. I've tried it on my children's clothes, on the general wash, and I noticed straight away that things were cleaner. Mm-hmm. Since then, I've used nothing else but cold water Omo.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user. Omo cleans best.
Keep your complexion soft and young-looking with the creamy, moisturizing lather of Lux. Like Claudia Cardinale, choose Lux. Lux, a beauty treatment as you bathe.
Episode 3 of this story, in which John Steed and Emma Peel experience even more trouble with various people who are intent on playing the fantasy game. John Steed and Emma Peel, investigating the deaths of two top undercover agents, had worked upon two clues. One was given to Steed when a gentleman who called himself Mr. Ponsonby Hopkirk phoned George Reed's rooms. Steed had been searching them and had answered the phone, pretending to be George. Mr. Ponsonby Hopkirk said he was from an organization known as QQF, and Steed made an appointment as George Reed to call upon him. Steed had left Mrs. Peel to follow up on another clue, which was a jar of honey. Mrs. Peel had called it B. Bumbles, the makers of the honey, and had a most interesting talk to Mr. Bumble himself. While she was in his shop, Vincent and Bernie, Mr. Arcady's henchmen, had arrived. Vincent stayed in the shop, but sent Bernie to follow Mrs. Peel. Later, he reported to Arcady, who was, about his usual business, looking after his health. He was in the health center, lying face downwards, on a warm marble slab, being given a massage.
Good, Vincent. So you took care of everything at the honey shop.
Oh, yes, there was nothing you need worry about there, Mr. Arcady.
You mentioned that you sent Bernie off after the woman who called while you were in the shop.
Yeah, or she was there when we arrived. I heard her mention the name George Reed, so I thought she might be dangerous. You know, someone checking up.
You don't know her name.
No, but I thought it best to send Bernie off to her.
Perfectly correct procedure, Vincent.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Arcady.
Bernie knows what to do, I presume.
Oh, yes, Mr. Arcady. Bernie knows what to do, or white, never fear.
Bernie followed Mrs. Peel, who made her way back to John Steed's apartment. She'd just got in and was checking the postmark on the package of honey that had been sent to Steed when the doorbell rang.
Now, who the devil's that? Steed back? Oh, surely not.
Bernie stood in the doorway. He was holding his hat deferentially in front of him. There was a menacing silence. Bernie said,
"Good day. May I come in for a minute?"
Mrs. Peel looked at him, sensed something very wrong, and jumped aside just as Bernie fired through the hat, missed Mrs. Peel by inches. She grabbed the door and swung it back on his hand. Bernie leapt forward. Mrs. Peel chopped at his gun hand. The gun went off again. Mrs. Peel closed in, fighting for her life. She couldn't make him drop the gun. All she could do was prevent him from turning it upon her. He was strong. Too strong for Mrs. Peel. She changed her tactics, let go of the gun arm, and seized the other one. She gave a terrific throw, and Irish whipped him sideways across the room. He hurtled across a table and crashed into the wall. Mrs. Peel hurried over to where Bernie lay on the floor. She turned him over. His eyes gazed up, staring but sightless. He still held the gun crooked back against his chest. There was a small hole in his coat. A red stain seeped across his shirt. He was dead. Meanwhile, John Steed sat in the Arabian room of QQF, waiting his turn to be interviewed by Mr. Ponsonby Hopkirk. Next to him, a gentleman dressed as Napoleon sat sullen and silent. The curtains parted. Hopkirk fussed his way into the room, ushering a man in mountaineering dress in front of him.
Goodbye, Sir Hilary, for another week. We'll get to the top next week. Meanwhile, I think you've done awfully well to ever reach the South Col. Goodbye. Now, who's next? Ah, yes, you, sir. Napoleon. Come, everything is ready for you. Wellington is just getting his boots on. It's the far room on the right. Look for the sign saying Waterloo.
Napoleon got up, thrust one hand into the front of his coat, and marched off without a word. Hopkirk turned to Steed.
Now, Mr. Reed, I'm so sorry to keep you waiting, but it's been so busy here today. Four men who wanted to be cowboys, can you imagine? Some people never grow up. We had to stage the gunfight at the old corral in order to satisfy them. Oh, such a production, I assure you. Everyone wanted to be ambushed. But now, I can give you my undivided attention. So tell me, what can QQF do for you?
Well, firstly, I'd like to know a little more of what it's all about.
Oh, you haven't received our literature? Our advertising handouts?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, dear, 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 dear. How very remiss of me. Well, then, the QQF is the quite fantastic incorporated. We help you to satisfy your innermost repressed desires. All of us are dreamers, you know. We indulge in fantasies such as what I would do if I won the Irish sweep, what it would be like to spend an hour or so with Brigitte Bardot. Oh, all very healthy. But some people find it hard to get rid of their fantasies in action. They become repressed and subsequently depressed. We, in a nutshell, Mr. Reed, create the fantasies and let you live them, getting rid of all those nasty repressions. Would you like some honeyed crumpets and a pot of tea?
Honey?
Or jam? Or treacle?
No, thank you. No.
Oh, it all began with the Arabian Nights, you know.
What did?
The QQF. Yes, yes. As a boy, I was fascinated by the tales of the Arabian Nights. I would dream of living in that exotic era. Then one day I thought, well, why dream? Why not make my dream a reality?
I see.
After that, it was easy. I created this place. Oh, it was a matter of the right decor, the right atmosphere, plus a few tricks. This Aladdin lamp, for instance.
Hopkirk picked up the lamp and waved it under Steed's nose.
Rubbing it sets up an electronic impulse that rings a bell in the cellar. My little genie then pops up through a trapdoor in the floor. Oh, just a theatrical trick, but a very effective one, don't you think?
Very.
Then I started to think of the commercial possibilities, creating other people's dreams and fantasies. And so QQF was born.
I see.
Within these portals, Mr. Reed, you can stand beside Nelson at Trafalgar, fight with General Custer, become Genghis Khan, a Roman emperor, a world heavyweight champion of the world. A million fantasies can be created with a few simple tricks, such as you have already seen.
I don't care if it actually happened or not. I'm not taking any more, I tell you. They can march on their stomachs as much as they like. I'm leaving. Goodbye, Mr. Hopkirk.
The man, who was dressed as Napoleon, stomped through the Arabian room, his face blackened, one sleeve of his jacket missing, the sole of one boot split and flapping, and an enormous hole through his hat.
Goodbye, Mr. Napoleon. Don't worry. Better luck next time. Now, Mr. Reed, your own fantasy. Could I suggest an intrepid trapper? Or a cavalryman at Balaclava? I see you wear a dinner jacket in the daytime. Do I detect a suppressed desire to be a band leader, perhaps?
Not really, no.
You wish to break the bank at Monte Carlo? Or, got it. You want to be a secret agent.
Steed gave Hopkirk a keen look. You're being sent up, Steed?
Yes, yes, indeed. Ideal for you. Licensed to kill. Pitting your wits against a diabolical mastermind. Make a nice change for your everyday humdrum existence, wouldn't it?
Oh, well, absolutely, yes. Certainly make a change.
But no doubt you have a little fantasy of your own. What do you find attractive?
Well, I quite like that bit about an hour with Brigitte Bardot. Well, actually, you know, I think I'd like the same as Ronnie Westcott.
Eh?
Ronald Westcott. Well, he is a client of yours, isn't he?
Westcott? Westcott? Ronnie Westcott? Oh, yes, 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 but I hardly think
you did create a fantasy for him, didn't you?
Well, I was working on it, yes, but I wouldn't have thought it was you.
Oh, come now, if it was good enough for Ronnie.
Well, all right. I'll let you know when it's arranged. I can't say how long it will take, but I'll be in touch when it's ready.
Fine, fine. Thank you so much. I'll be getting along then. Oh, by the way, what is it, the fantasy? I mean, what am I to be?
Oh, chief eunuch in a harem.
Brigitte Bardot's no good to you now, Steed. Steed went home rather quickly, and who could blame him? He still looked a little stunned as he entered his apartment and made for the liquor cabinet, pouring himself a large drink. It was then that he noticed a pair of legs sticking out from behind the settee. Sighing impatiently, he picked up the phone and put through a call.
Hello? You're Q Division? Is that Colonel Robertson, Steed here? Yeah, look, Colonel, there's nobody in my flat. Moved right away, please. Yeah, but it's very untidy, and I don't know what the cleaning woman will think when she... What's that? You already have? No, it's another body entirely. Yes, yes, a different one. Well, Colonel, I have absolutely no control what happens here while I'm out. No, I am not trying to corner the market. And furthermore,
But the line went dead.
Everything's dead. Except Ponsonby Hopkirk's fantasy. They're far too much alive for my liking. Murder, mayhem, corpses littering the living room. I've got a distinct feeling that this is going to be one of those days.
Dog gives you a lot of pleasure. Now here's something you must do for him. Give him all new Procos health food for dogs. It's complete. New Procos contains all the energy-giving vitamins and protein a healthy dog needs. So with new Procos, you need feed him nothing else. New Procos health food is all he needs. Care for your dog. Give him new Procos health food for dogs. It's complete, and he'll love it.
No dirt can stand up to the cleaning power of cold water Omo. Mrs. Whelan had to wash greasy overalls.
And I said, oh, well, I won't worry. I'll stick it into cold water Omo, and sure enough, every bit of grease is out.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user.
The Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers, brought to you by the makers of Cold Water Omo. Now, from the makers of Cold Water Omo...
John Steed stood in his apartment, staring down at the body behind the settee.
Murder, mayhem, and mystery. Go out, leaving one body behind there, and come back to find another in its place. Corpses littering the living room. I don't know what the whole place is coming to.
Steed poured himself a large drink, and it was then that he noticed his tape recorder was open. There was a message scrawled on it. It read...
Play me, please.
And so Steed did. And Emma Peel's voice said...
Steed, sorry about the body, but he was too big to sweep under the carpet. Nothing on him to identify him, but I saw him earlier at B. Bumble and Company. That's the honey shop, by the way. I'll tell you about it later. Must buzz back to Bumblebees. Bye for now.
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers. Once an Omo user, always an Omo user. Because it gets out the worst dirt and stains. Mrs. Francis of Port Elizabeth found that Omo cleaned her husband's bathing trunks.
He used to come home and they'd be marked and splodged with tar and oil from our beaches. Well, he wanted to throw them away. So I said, well, let's soak them overnight on cold water Omo. And the next day they were shimmering white again.
Goldwater Omo cleans best. Over 1 million South African housewives have proved it.
Lux is the beauty soap chosen by beautiful film stars around the world. They choose Lux for its rich, moisturizing lather. Lux, a beauty treatment as you bathe.
Episode 4 of this story, in which John Steed and Emma Peel realize that a plot to assassinate a crown prince is part of the fantasy game. John Steed, pretending to be the dead undercover agent George Reed, had kept his appointment with Mr. Ponsonby Hopkirk and found that QQF stood for quite fantastic, an organization that more than lived up to its name. It was Hopkirk's own brainchild, an establishment where people could get rid of their inhibitions by acting out their fantasies. Steed had seen a mountaineer who wished to be Sir Edmund Hillary and a quaint gentleman who wished to be Napoleon. Steed had got away from the place before getting too involved, and returning to his own apartment, had found the body of Ronnie Westcott had been taken away as arranged, but in its place lay another dead man. His name was, or rather had been, Bernie, and he'd followed Mrs. Peel back there after overhearing her conversation with Mr. Bumble in the honey shop. In the life and death struggle that followed his attempt to shoot Mrs. Peel, Mrs. Peel had lived and Bernie had died. And Mrs. Peel, as she told Steed on the tape, had gone back to Bumble's.
Hello? Hello, Mr. Bumble? Mr. Bumble? Oh, there you are, Mr. Bumble. I wonder if you could tell...
Mrs. Peel walked across the shop to the counter. Bumble sat behind it, propped up on his elbows, apparently dozing.
Mr. Bumble?
He was dead. Mrs. Peel was about to move away when she noticed a scrap of paper by the body. She picked it up and looked at it. It was headed...
Application form, the QQF Incorporated, 10 Beaver Street, name Vincent East. Worth a try, I suppose.
Vincent East, whose application form now rested in Mrs. Peel's handbag, was reporting back to his boss, Arcady, who was sitting on a couch in the health center, manicuring his nails.
My dear Vincent, now what has happened to Bernie?
I don't know, Mr. Arcady. He's been gone a number of hours. He should have reported back by now. Well, he ought to have.
Ought? It would have been better had you attended to the girl yourself, Vincent.
Yes, Mr. Arcady, but you said that...
We'll give him 1 hour, no more. Then we must presume the worst and take the necessary action.
Yes, Mr. Arcady. QQF.
Are you there soon, are you not? Make haste then, Vincent, make haste. You mustn't miss your third fantasy, must you?
Mrs. Peel had no difficulty in finding the QQF, and pretending to be a newspaper woman, she quickly got in to see Mr. Hopkirk, who immediately outlined the function of the organization to her. Mrs. Peel listened in fascination.
Specific cases, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I suppose my most ambitious fantasy today was the sinking of the Titanic. Several of my staff had to be resuscitated afterwards.
Any failures?
Oh, never. Although the Titanic was nearly sabotaged by an elderly actress who claimed to have been in cavalcade and said Noel Coward's was far more satisfying, I ask you. Of course, my list of successes is enormous. Hannibal crossing the Alps, and very many assassinations, riding a Derby winner.
Assassinations?
Yes, we've had several of those, very difficult, some of them.
Well, how can you go about an assassination for our readers?
Well, first our client selects his victim. A VIP, perhaps, or an important businessman. Then we arm our client with this.
Hopkirk produced an automatic with a long snout and a telescopic sight on top.
Then we put him in a position to use it. We allow him to actually get his victim in his sights. And then...
Then?
Hopkirk brought the gun round to face Mrs. Peel. He pulled the trigger.
Then he has a fine photograph to commemorate the occasion.
Oh, I see. A camera gun.
Correct. It helps the client to get a great deal out of his system, and no one gets hurt. I can't tell you the number of mothers-in-law who've been harmlessly disposed of in this way.
I see. Now, Mr. Hopkirk, if I could know a bit more about your clients.
Clients?
Yes. Vincent East, for instance. I understand he is a client of yours.
Mrs. Peel, I regret that I am unable to discuss individuals. The ethics of my business, you understand. My lips are sealed.
Oh, but surely...
No. I must insist. It would be a betrayal.
Well, thank you anyway. Goodbye.
It's been a pleasure, Mrs. Peel. And if you should ever wish to join QQF, a fantasy, perhaps?
Thank you, Mr. Hopkirk, but I haven't yet exhausted reality. Goodbye.
As Mrs. Peel made her way out of one exit, a hurrying girl, working as an usherette, showed Vincent East in through another draped archway. Hopkirk immediately stepped forward.
Ah, Mr. Vincent, are we ready for our third fantasy? In a very nice, murderous mood? Today, I hope.
In the health center, some time later, Mr. Arkady was having his neck massaged by a very attractive young blonde.
A little lower down, more to the right shoulder. That's it. That's beautiful. Now, you pass the telephone, please.
The girl left. Arkady put through a call. The girl resumed the massage. Arkady eventually got through.
QQF, may I speak, please, to Mr. Vincent East? Hmm? Thank you. Yeah, that feels easier. Now the left shoulder. That's it. Oh, hello, Vincent. Your bad news. Bernie has not returned. It's over an hour. Well, of course I know what it means. It's an awful boy, though. But you will have to kill Hopkirk. Goodbye.
Mrs. Peel returned to John Steed's apartment and this time found him at home. Steed had changed his clothes, but his mood still remained gloomy.
Mrs. Peel, we're getting nowhere fast. Westcott, Reed, man behind the settee.
And poor old Bungle. Where the devil does the honey fit in?
Down if I know. Went through all the jars in George Reed's cupboard and there's nothing concealed in any of them.
Yet honey's got something to do with it.
Well, it's a sticky business altogether.
I mean, there must be a link somewhere. Why else would George Reed have sent you a jar?
I don't know, but one thing's for certain. Reed and Westcott weren't killed for jars of honey.
And then there's the QQF.
Yes, quite fantastic. We both had a go and neither of us got very far there, did we? But why Ronnie signed on there came as a bit of a surprise. I mean, I can understand the harem bit, the other. I mean, to want to be that is a fantasy in itself.
Harem?
Yes, the part of the fantasy that Ronnie ordered.
Harem? Wait a minute. Bumble said something about the Bahrainian embassy. He made a delivery there. Bahrainian embassy harem.
Bahrainian embassy harem. Two agents dead.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking what I'm thinking, Mrs. Peel?
Where's the newspaper, Steve?
There, on the side table. No chance to read it yet.
I'll get it. Gin prices to rise sharply. Mother won't like that.
Radio serial disturbing influence. I'm not mad about that either.
Ah, here we are. Strict security arrangements at the Bahrainian embassy. Crown Prince Ali arrives today. Steed? Hopkirk told me he often had to dream up an assassination.
Come on, Mrs. Peel.
And in the Arabian room at QQF, Hopkirk was not only holding the floor, he was pacing it.
Now, Mr. Vincent, let us rehearse it just once again.
No, if you insist.
Now, I am the Crown Prince Ali, and you, the murderer, are concealed, here. Now, come along.
Oh, very well.
You don't sound very enthusiastic, and we must have enthusiasm. Now, I am perhaps enjoying a quiet smoke.
Hopkirk picked up a hookah and began to draw the smoke through the long, flexible tube. The water in the bowl of the vase bubbled gently.
Now, you have not revealed yourself yet. The moment of surprise has yet to come. You hold your gun at the ready. The gun, Vincent. The gun on the table.
Vincent picked up the camera gun, and when Hopkirk half turned away, placed it back on the table and took a real gun from his belt.
Now then, choose your moment, and well. Then up you pop. Now.
Right.
No, man. You're not putting enough into it. You won't get any satisfaction out of your fantasy unless you put something into it. Think. Think murderously. Lift the gun a little bit higher. Your whole expression is too bland, too unconvincing for words. You wouldn't frighten a fly off the wall. Now fix me with your eye and think to yourself, I am going to kill him. I am going to kill him. Ah, much better. Much more realistic.
Vincent didn't even look at Hopkirk. He moved swiftly to the table and picked up the top file.
QQF Incorporated. Fantasy number 3. Subject, assassination of the Crown Prince Ali of Bahrain. Thank you, Mr. Hopkirk. Thank you for planning it all so nicely. Don't worry. I'll see it all carried out to the letter.
And with a final heave on the spanner, Ronnie Miller finishes changing his flat tire in just 6 minutes, 32 seconds. Well done, Ronnie. You play any other sports?
I wash the car once in a while.
You look very fresh, Ronnie. What deodorant do you use?
Shield for Sportsman, of course.
Why?
It works.
Shield for Sportsman deodorant won't stick, sting, or stain. In aerosol or roll-on, it's made to keep sportsmen cool and dry. Think what it can do for you.
There's no dirt that can stand up to the cleaning power of cold water Omo.
If you use cold water Omo, it comes out very, very easily indeed.
Says Mrs. Sutherland of the Inokin. Once an Omo user, always an Omo user. It cleans best.
The Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers, brought to you by the makers of Cold Water Omo.
And listen on Monday morning at 10 to the first episode of an intriguing new story, The White Oaks of Jalna.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. And we've lowered prices. You can save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.